This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you today. Coming up in the noon hour, Dane and Hughes will join us for his final visit. Put a bow on the season, look ahead to the offseason as well. That's coming up at 12:10. You guys can keep interacting with us. We appreciate it. It's always fun to get your guys' perspective as well. Be part of the show, 913-586-7965. That is the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. We'll get to some speculation that's already out there about the schedule for next year, not just with the Chiefs, but around the NFL and a couple of things we can already eliminate. But we haven't discussed, because the Chiefs have been going for this three-peat run up until Sunday, what kind of movement could happen this offseason quarterback-wise? We already know the news earlier today. The Jets are officially moving on from Aaron Rodgers. I'm not even talking about that. But two quarterbacks that are under contract, could they be on the move, including one that has won a ring in the last couple of years? The first one is Matthew Stafford. He, of course, has won a ring. That's who I'm talking about. There has been a lot of speculation. Greg Rosenthal, who covers the NFL, a few others as well. Daniel Jeremiah, Move the Sticks, speculating that perhaps Matthew Stafford is way more likely on the move than not. That the compensation could be not just a first round pick, but could it be me, upper first round pick? Now that's where I'm not so sure the compensation you can get. The rumor out there is that the New York Giants, watch them as a team. Could the New York Giants go and trade for Matthew Stafford? When's the last time in a trade that somebody that's still playing at a very high level got traded with a ring? Well, the answer is the guy that just got cut by the Jets, right? Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers ultimately got traded, had won a ring. He got traded to New York Jets. At that time, that seemed kind of unheard of. Well, let's not forget, this has been happening more. It's not quite NBA player empowerment and all that, but Russell Wilson, who had won a ring as well, ultimately, Seattle Seahawks, it was more their doing than his, but they kind of got sick of him, and we all know they traded him to Denver. Did not work out, but they traded him to Denver. When Rodgers got traded to the Jets, it did not work out. Matthew Stafford getting traded to the Giants, like, out of the two, it's easy to say, well, for sure it would be better. But is there something to be said for these teams that are looking at trading for quarterbacks that are late in their career, that have won a ring in their original destination? Like, should you try to pull off a move like that? Because the last two examples you just gave were not just bad, disaster. Russ was a disaster in Denver. Aaron Rodgers was a disaster in New York, and they finally just got out of that, although there's repercussions. Think about the destruction left behind, if you will, from Rodgers. 2 second-round picks, $75 million. They were basically told to sign Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and Tim Boyle. Oh, and then give up another third-round pick and $11 million for Davante Adams. Oh, and then they also wanted you to sign Nathaniel Hackett as an OC. That was a destruction all for five wins. that Aaron Rodgers cost you. Now, I don't think Matthew Stafford is nearly as divisive or anything like that as Aaron Rodgers. And will he demand the same things from the Giants? No.
Trade for Cooper Kupp, guys.
But that's,
bring him over with me.
But that's, yeah, like that whole, think about the scenario. Could the Giants, who already have Malik Nabers, they have a nice young running back who'll be entering year two in Tracy. Nabers, you trade for Kupp and you trade for Matthew Stafford.
Would they trade three overall? Is that what it would take?
For both those players, I struggle to think that a top five pick is required to get it done. The Rams might ask for that. Is Matthew Stafford going for a top five pick at this point in his career?
If you include Cooper Kupp, maybe, but I mean,
Matthew Stafford is 38, or just turned 37, I'm sorry.
That'd be tough.
He just turned 37 years old, and I thought he played at a really high level this year. He was very, very good. And we all know they ended up coming up short in the divisional round to the eventual Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles. His numbers this year, 20-10, played in 16 games, 3,700 yards. A couple years back against your Bengals, we all know they won the Super Bowl. He was a... let's see, Pro Bowler a year ago and had 3,900 yards, 24-11. His best year was 2021. That was the year we were referencing there. We had 41 touchdowns and 17 picks. He's obviously on the downward slope of his career. If I'm the Giants, I'm interested, but I'm not giving up my top five pick. No, absolutely not.
Would you get, so what do you think Cooper Kupp would be on the market if it were just Cooper Kupp? Is it a third round pick?
Third or fourth, yeah.
All right, so if I was the Rams, I don't know if they'd want to do this probably because I don't know who they've got in the chamber. I think it'd be Stetson Bennett, actually, but...
Is he still around there?
Or Jimmy G.
Garoppolo is there.
It'd be,
yeah,
Jimmy G or Stetson Bennett. I think Stetson Bennett's still there. But would you take, if you're the Giants, would you send 2026 first and a 2025 third for both of those guys? I don't know if the Rams would take that.
If I'm the Rams, though, I don't know. I think I want picks this year. I don't know if I'm taking picks into the future.
Or maybe you
or
take
at least the top pick.
If you took a first for 2026 and then you took a second this year, I wonder if that would be enough to, hey, delay the first round pick. It's probably not going to be as good as third, obviously, because they have Stafford and they would have Cooper Kupp and Malik Nabers. But
it would bring.
I wonder if it'd be enough for them to say yes, even though they would have questions at quarterback. The Rams would.
It would bring respectability to a franchise that's been a mess. I mean, Matthew Stafford's not a long-term solution. He's not going to be there 5 years from now. But with Nabers, with Tracy, with Stafford, and let's even take Cooper Kupp out of the conversation.
It's a good
with that
offense.
Group, like, look at where that division is at. So here's why I think the Giants should do it, is because where they're at in the draft, unless you believe Cam Ward is that dude, and maybe they do, otherwise, where are you at? The Eagles just want a ring. They're not going anywhere with their roster.
If you're Brian Daboll, you want him to trade because he could save your
Daboll
job.
Brian Daboll, you know, for him individually and their general manager with where they're at. The Commanders have their franchise quarterback and Jaden Daniels. That's clear. The Cowboys, fortunately, are worse than, you know.
They might be better. The Cowboys might be dead last in the division if they got Matt Stafford.
Yes, they would. I think so. So, like, if you're the Giants, you have to do something. This would be a big splash. Yeah. It would get you to being a competitive football team for a couple of seasons. Now, you still would eventually need to find your franchise quarterback. But otherwise, where are you at in the pecking order in that division? So I think this is not a crazy scenario. And if you're the Rams, you're like, well, why would the Rams move on from Stafford? Well, it's at the point where it's time for maybe a little bit of a reset. You've got some good young defensive players if you're the Rams. Is there a reason to pivot in a different direction? You came up short this year. You had a terrible start. You ended up coming all the way back, and you won that division. And you think about the makeup of the NFC West, the Seahawks, maybe they're pivoting from Geno. We'll see. The Niners are in a reset mode, it looks like, unless you believe they're going to completely flip that roster. And then the Cardinals, you know, they're kind of just there.
I feel like, to me, and this would be a segue into the next part of this, I think the answer is obvious, but is Matt Stafford a better option for the Giants, or would Trevor Lawrence be, given the position that the Giants are in, where not that they're not win now, but they get a young quarterback. Brian Daboll did some good stuff with Josh Allen. Not to say that he can resurrect Trevor Lawrence's career in a way, but he can take them. He'll have Trevor Lawrence for a little bit. They'll have paid him, of course. If you're the Steelers, I know that there's some rumblings around Trevor Lawrence, but if you're the Steelers, you know that Matt Stafford is good right now. Like, I think Matt Stafford is the better. We all would agree. Matt Stafford is better right now than Trevor Lawrence. If you're the Steelers, would you actually want to maybe trade for Matt Stafford and pair him up with the defense that you currently have, maybe draft another wide receiver as well? I don't know what it would take to do that, but because there's the reports, of course, that Trevor Lawrence, you know, the Steelers might have made a call for Trevor Lawrence. Would it actually make more sense for the Giants to get Lawrence and the Steelers to get Matt Stafford, given the situation of the two teams?
Well, Lawrence gives you more long-term,
of course.
Obviously, stability. Yeah, you jumped ahead a little bit. We can get to that. That's fine. Now, like, there is a report.
I was transitioning into it.
You're good. There is a report that the Steelers have contacted the Jags about Trevor Lawrence, and they are trying to trade for the Jacksonville quarterback. Reminder, though, the Jags don't even have a GM yet. So the Jags are interviewing GM candidates. So I don't think this is, like, close. Anybody can call anybody. Anybody can call anybody and see who may or may not be available. Remember, Trevor Lawrence just got a new deal. To answer your question about, like, who's better, the reason why I think it's more likely, if you even believe in Trevor Lawrence is getting traded, that it would be to the Steelers, is draft compensation across the board for both. Like, I would have to go deeper into what the Steelers have in their cap situation. Can the Giants afford the contract for Trevor Lawrence versus Stafford? I don't know what the difference is. Can they afford that or not? Because Lawrence just got an extension, and I don't know where Stafford's at money-wise compared to Lawrence three years from now.
They got Brian Burns, right, on contract?
Yes. So I don't know. I admittedly haven't gone a deep dive on the Giants and Giants and Steelers cap situation. But yeah, that's interesting. I mean, if I had a guess, Trevor Lawrence is probably not getting moved, because if Liam Cohen's a new head coach, then what are you doing at quarterback? Like, we can have our issues with Trevor Lawrence. Like, hey, he's overvalued and they shouldn't have given him the extension or whatever. Okay. That's, we can have that convo, but somebody's playing quarterback for the next year. If you trade Trevor Lawrence, who's your quarterback in 2025 for a first year head coach? Yeah. So I don't think Trevor Lawrence is getting traded. This sounds like a lot of, like, hey, a reporter heard that. Yeah. The Steelers called Jacksonville. It doesn't hurt to call and find out if they'd be willing, but either it's one of those, hey, we're not trading them once they get a GM, or the compensation might be just absolutely ridiculous for Trevor Lawrence.
If you're the Steelers, though, what do you rather have? I know the longevity thing is there, and they would essentially be entering not quarterback hell in a way, but when Stafford's career is done, you're right back in the same situation, I feel like, if you're Pittsburgh. But if you're in win-now mode, which I know it's easy to say that a team is in win-now mode or a team is not, especially now looking ahead to next season, but if you're the Steelers, knowing how good they are roster-wise, it feels like, in a way, they've been a quarterback away from being a legitimate enough contender. Maybe they need another wide receiver, another weapon, maybe another running back, whatever the case is. Is it Matt Stafford the guy that you might rather want, while it also would take less to get him? I mean, if you're Pittsburgh, they have, I think, 21 in this draft. I don't think you'd have to give up anything else. You could just trade, hey, we'll give you the 21st pick for Matt Stafford. Maybe the Rams can give us a 5th-round pick or a 6th-round pick in return as well, just to give us a little bit more, you know, instead of just a quarterback that's going to play for another year or two. And then it gives them a chance to win, while it also gives the Rams, who knows? I mean, maybe they start Jimmy G and go from there, but it feels like the Steelers, it would make more sense maybe for them actually to trade for Stafford than Trevor Lawrence. I know that obviously, as you said, was the report that they were calling, but it seems like Matt Stafford's a legitimate trade candidate.
Yes, I think it's way more likely he gets moved, for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on it as we get closer to the league year, but we could have another offseason, a guy with a ring get traded at the quarterback spot. And the question I would have is, does this have the same fate? This seems like it's in better position to work versus the last two quarterbacks with rings that got traded have blown up in the team that required him's face, and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Now, for different reasons.
Maybe that's why the Steelers wouldn't want to do
Russ
that.
Was just flat out bad in Denver. Aaron Rodgers got hurt, and then the whole thing, and Robert Saleh and the lack of control in that organization and the ownership stinks. But That would be the interesting part of it to me. Would this scenario actually work?
Are we sure that Rodgers actually is going to start? I know, just thinking about, like, Stafford and Lawrence, obviously, and the guys that are being drafted, and then, of course, Jimmy G could start if Stafford gets traded. Are we sure that Aaron Rodgers actually starts?
Am I 100% sure? Of course not.
Sam Darnold, he would take him. I wonder, is he actually going to have a...
Who, Rodgers?
Yeah, is he actually going to have that good of a market?
So it won't be the first plan. It's usually going to be a team that doesn't think they can go draft a franchise quarterback. And then they start looking at the free agent options. And, a Gardner Minshew, a Sam Darnold, a Kirk Cousins, and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, and Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. Like, those are the names. And
Kirk Cousins off the Achilles, too.
Yeah. That's the name. Like, I guess all I would say is, like, Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell ended up starting games this year. Like, there will be at least one or two teams that just, like, is stuck. You know, the Steelers have other options to pivot to, but it would not surprise me if they went that route. And then the Raiders, if they think they can't trade for a quarterback, or they can't trade up in the draft, and they can't get Sam Darnold, then where are they going next? They go Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson reuniting? I guess that's one scenario. It's not 100% certainty, but it would not surprise me at all if Rodgers is starting for somebody. I would not start him because I just flat out don't think he's any good anymore. A lot of Jets fans were mad they moved on from him, though, believe it or not. A friend of mine covers the Jets and does a daily radio show up there and everything. And he and many, many Jets fans wanted Aaron Rodgers back. They actually thought that was their best option because for them, they don't have, like, who's their quarterback next year? They're not going back to Sam Darnold. I know that. So, like, that's the one guy I do know they're not going to sign. That would be funny. Where are they going for quarterback? They just traded for a quarterback with an Achilles injury. They're not signing Kirk Cousins and they're not signing Sam Darnold. So those are two of the options off the table. Who the heck is starting for the Jets next year?
They'll draft somebody too early in the first round, or they'll wait to the second or third and just play them. And if they stink, then they'll just move on. I guess that might just be the way that it goes. It seems like.
All right, let's talk about some speculation that's already out there schedule wise in the NFL. Right, and that would be the Eagles opening up the season on the Thursday night game. We know that's how this works when you're a Super Bowl champ. So the Chiefs, we know, will not open up on Thursday night for the first time in three seasons. They will play, we presume, normally on Sunday. I guess they could play a Monday night game, but they will likely play on Sunday. And so you start to think about the opponents. The Chiefs and Royals have conflicts in their week one schedule. The Royals have a day game on that Sunday. So the Chiefs being home week one is very, very unlikely, if not impossible. Certainly not a noon kickoff at Arrowhead, and the Royals are playing that day. And they've moved. I understand they moved Royals games before. I just don't, not for week one game. They haven't, though. So I would be very, very surprised. I think the Royals scheduling conflict means that the Chiefs are probably on the road. So you start to go, okay, week one stuff real quick. It's just, we have plenty of time on this. I get it. But people are already speculating who the Eagles could open up against. And you had the comment from Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Lions saying that the Eagles should open up against like a real team. He wants to go to Philadelphia week one, Amon-Ra St. Brown and the Detroit Lions. But the Chiefs opponents on the road this year, or next year, I guess it is this year now, at Buffalo, at Dallas, of course, the divisional games, we all know that, at Jacksonville, at Giants, at Titans. Those are the potential road games for the Chiefs, or those are the road games for the Chiefs. So in week one,
Cowboys Monday night.
The thing with the Cowboys, what I don't know is,
or Sunday night,
or yeah, Sunday night, is whether or not is the NFL going to do the Thanksgiving thing. The Cowboys Thanksgiving game draws no matter what, though. And so that's the, otherwise I would say, oh, this feels like the Chiefs are due for a Thanksgiving Day game. They haven't played on Black Friday. They haven't played on Christmas Day. What holiday have they not played on recently? Thanksgiving. And so, and they're in Dallas. We know Dallas is always hosting a Thanksgiving Day game or night game. So I think that's the question. Is the NFL and the TV execs saying, we want Dallas and we're blocking it for Thanksgiving? They're going to do a massive number that day anyway. So do you want to blow Chiefs Cowboys, who, as you said, you could do a random Monday night or Sunday night game anytime in the season, and the number is going to be huge because it's the Chiefs. And because it's the Dallas Cowboys, no matter how bad Dallas may be, they do draw. Their ratings are always great. So I think there's a really good chance they end up on Thanksgiving, but I understand the argument that is the NFL going to basically waste that matchup? Otherwise, at Buffalo is kind of interesting. They just lost to the Chiefs for a fourth time in the postseason.
Yeah.
So on Sunday, right away, now their new stadium's not done yet, I think, right? They got another year. Otherwise, that'd be no-brainer. Have them open up on Sunday night in Buffalo, their brand new stadium. It would seem like an easy, easy decision. Their stadium's not done yet, I don't think. So that's why I could still see them not doing that and saving Chiefs Bills. Otherwise, look, could the Chiefs just end up on the road at like Tennessee in week one and just be like a normal, like, I know typically that's normally they put the big boys on, like the Chiefs open up on Thursday. Last Sunday night, or last year Sunday Night Football, I think, was the Bills, and then on Monday it was like the Niners, who they didn't think was going to be bad, but like the Niners and Jets, and everybody thought that was that. Usually they try to go on paper with the big marquee matchup, and you would think the Chiefs are still part of that equation, so it's hard to think that they would just open up like a normal noon kickoff. But there's only so many road games, right?
Who are the other opponents? Tennessee, Dallas, Buffalo, and who else?
Tennessee. So the Chiefs road games, actually, Tennessee, the Giants, of course, the divisional stuff, and then at Jacksonville, at Buffalo, at Dallas.
How often have they done? I know for the AFC North,
divisional.
they've done divisional a lot to start the season off.
I'd have to look the last time the Chiefs opened up divisional. Let's see. I think it was the year Tyrod Taylor had the punctured lung. Wasn't that week one? Hold on. Let's go back. Obviously, last year they opened up against Baltimore. We know that. That was the Thursday night game.
I could see a 325 Denver on the road at Denver game to start.
The last time, because then that was the Lions in 2023. So I think the last time the Chiefs opened up divisionally was, the Chargers punctured lung thing. That was
week two.
That was week two in 2022. But that wasn't the punctured lung year. Herbert didn't make his debut in 2022. That's too recent.
It was 21, I think, or 20, because him and Burrow got selected in the same year.
Yeah, because 2020 was the year they opened. That was Chargers week two as well. That was an overtime game. So, no, they haven't opened. I'm going all the way back. I'm trying to, the last time they opened divisional.
I wonder if this would be the
2019 was Jacksonville. Yeah, I mean,
it's been a long time.
I go back a ways. Yeah, I mean, it's at least the 2017, 2018. Here, 2018, the last time the Chiefs opened up in a divisional game. 2018 at the Chargers. There you go. 38-28-1.
I feel like this could be a year, because I don't know if you want to blow that Chiefs-Bills matchup in week one or the Cowboys one, I guess, either, if you want to talk about that one as well. But it feels like maybe they throw a division game in there to start off with. I don't know how you'd feel about that if you're the Chiefs. I mean, you get a divisional game out of the way, which is kind of nice. But I feel like a Chiefs at Denver at 325, still get them in a good slot. A prime slot, if you will. Not prime time, but national televised audience. Broncos were a playoff team.
I could see it.
Them, I guess, are the Chargers, too. I guess you could throw them in there, too. It feels like a division round or a division game isn't out of the question, I guess, as much as anything else, given like Tennessee or the Giants. I don't think they're going to put them. The Tennessee game feels like a week three or week four game where it's just randomly in there, like the Saints game.
I'm keeping an eye on the Nashville one because that's my road trip for the season.
You want it to be warmer, I would assume? You want it to be September?
I mean, that would be nice. I like Nashville, but 2 years ago I went to the Packers game. That was a bucket list one. I've been to Nashville, but not for a Chiefs game. I was there for the draft in 2018, I think it was. So whenever that was.
There you go.
And it's a great draft site, and eventually it'll be a Super Bowl host site. No, but that's going to be a game. When the Chiefs played there a couple years ago, I didn't go, but remember that was full of red. That's a fun traveling destination. This year was supposed to be Pittsburgh, but it ended up on Christmas Day, so I ended up not doing that. There was a group of friends. We were going to go to the Steelers game. I think that the Chiefs-Titans game this year will be the friend trip for a Chiefs road game. So, yes, I don't want the Nashville game to be week one. I'd rather it be, yeah, like you said, I'd rather it be,
it's like the Saints game. It's
October
just thrown
5th.
In there.
Give me a little October 5th Chiefs.
Yeah, it's just randomly tossed in there.
In Nashville. Find out. And if you're right, it'll be Chiefs versus Mason Rudolph, you know, in week four.
Or Will Levis. I mean, whoever they choose, I guess.
Somebody crappy. Another veteran.
If they draft Cam Watershedor number one, does that change things? I feel like it does. Like where they might put him week one. Patrick Mahomes against the number one overall pick. I wonder if they're, you know, because there's some juice there.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk more about, are there any trade candidates on this roster? And Jay Binkley's going to call in. He's got his draft plan already. You know he's been thinking about it for days. He said, I want to call in. I want to tell you my plan. So we're going to find out together what that is. Coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's on Cody and Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Jay Binkley going to call in, check in with him. He's been putting together his offseason and draft plan. He said, I need to tell the people. It's been a little bit. So he's going to call in the next 10 minutes or so. We're going to find out what he thinks the Chiefs should do. Plus, I just want to ask him, because I know he's already been looking. What are the chances of them actually finding a franchise left tackle in the draft, or are they going to have to go in a different direction? We'll try to learn that one together coming up in a bit. I mentioned the discussion around 3, maybe 4 trade candidates. Do the Chiefs even have a trade candidate on this roster? Because we were talking to Dusty before the show yesterday, like, hey, is there anybody on this roster they could pull off a Tyreek Hill type of trade to get more assets? And we went through and then we came up with like a 3 names. And we're going to get to that in a second, I promise. But while we were in break, I saw Charles Omenihu, who's a free agent. He was on The Facility, which I guess is one of the newer shows there on FS1. Isn't that the one with like LeSean McCoy?
Yep.
Okay.
It's got McCoy,
Chase Daniel.
Chase Daniel.
Okay.
On
that's
there.
What I thought. Yep. Okay. So that The Facility, they had Charles Omenihu on, not talking about just his future, which is interesting, but Travis Kelce. I mean, yesterday we spent a good chunk of the show playing the audio. You guys heard Travis Kelce very open and honest about how he is clearly considering retiring, but, you know, wants to give it some more time and got to figure out if he can be 100% for his teammates, all of that. Well, Charles Omenihu was asked about the potential retirement of Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I mean, this would be like my message to Trav. Big dog, like, we whole organization, we can't go out like that, you know? Like, he's a Hall of Famer from the moment he says I'm done, right? So, but I think Trav has a lot left. I think Trav is an extreme competitor. I think he's somebody that loves the game. And I think in the story career that he's had, going out like that, in my opinion, wouldn't be something that he would do. So I believe that he'll be back. I believe that he'll give it one more go. We have guys coming back on that team, you know, that Rasheed's going to be back. So that's going to help out the offense. And I think it's the whatever holes that the team has, Coach Reed and Brent do a great job of, like, you know, getting on top of it real quick. They're not going to overlook anything that may have been a reason why we didn't come out on top. So it's going to be a retool, refuel, and get back to it. And we have Pat. So you know for a fact that you're going to be in the dance.
That's facts.
So, like, it's like, all right, like, he's not coming back to maybe we might get to the, like, oh, you know, yeah, for a fact, sure. Like, they're going to be in there. And probably for a fact that you're going to be in that championship game.
I found that to be interesting for a couple reasons. One, the way he was talking, did you hear the same way I did the final 20 seconds? He sounds like someone that thinks he's part of this team next year. I'm not saying he can't be, but like he, remember, his contract is up. This was the final year of his deal. He was on a 2-year deal. He wanted a new deal after last year. He got the ACL injury and they didn't do it, but he was like, hey, I want a deal. Remember, you could tell on social media. He's very outspoken on social media. Like he kind of can tell how he's feeling pretty easily. And Charles Manny, who's been really, really good for this team the last 2 years, there's no doubt about that. And somebody's going to pay him. He's only 28 years old. So I think the Chiefs should be very interested in bringing him back. But right now he's not under contract. So I thought that way he answered that, even almost in his own way, was interesting. He sure sounds like someone like, you know, we're going to be in it. Like he was talking like he thinks he's a part of the team. Now, maybe that's that's how you've been talking for 2 years. So like, it's hard to now talk as if you're not part of the team. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. As far as the Travis Kelce part, I mean, that's kind of what we mentioned just yesterday. Do you want to go out like that or not? He said, quote, we can't go out like that is what Aminihou said in regards to Travis Kelce retiring. I think that is probably part of what the decision-making process is. I think you could tell from the audio yesterday, Travis Kelce like is in the middle of like, I don't want to let my teammates down by not playing with them, but I also don't know, can I be there? Like, am I going to be able to be 100% there? And I think that's a little bit of the weighing. Am I willing to take on this different role? I don't think the different role thing is problematic for Kelce, because I would argue going into this season, he maybe already had an idea the role was going to be a little bit different. They gave an extension to Noah Gray. Rashee Rice was the guy the first four weeks, because he got hurt in week four against the Chargers, where they were starting to make the offense run through him anyway. So I actually don't think he has to be able to tell himself that he's not going to be the dude anymore in the offense. I actually think that was already going to happen this year. It's just ultimately with the injury, he had to be. He ended up having a ridiculous amount of targets this year. There's no way that can happen. I think there's so many different levels to this for Kelce, but hearing Charles Manyhu say that, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people are saying, which is like, is that how you want to go out? That's your last game?
I think that's what he's got to wrestle with, because if you're a teammate of his, of course, it's like, come on, man. Like, there's no way that you can leave on that sort of a note. And then, you know, he has his own personal feeling about the whole thing where he was open about it. He knows how he felt in the middle of the season. Not to say it's going to get any better, but who's to say it doesn't come back again, where you're in the middle of the season and you're like, man, this sucks right now. Like, even though we might be winning, even though we might be playing well, I'm just not, it's really difficult for me to be able to get through an entire week of practice, get through the game and feel ready to go by the time the next game comes around. And I mean, if something happens and he's got to be relied on again, because again, yeah, Rasheed's going to be back, but we don't know how many games he's going to be out for. So Travis is going to be a part of the offense again for at least the first half of the season in a substantial enough capacity, I feel like, because Rasheed's not going to be playing because he'll be suspended in all likelihood. So he has to wrestle with those thoughts. I do think even more after hearing Charles's thoughts and just thinking about it, I think the fact that Jason retired And knowing they went back again, and I wonder if Jason really was like, man, I really do wish I would have come back. I think that whatever, I think Jason is going to be the ultimate decider for Travis. Let me talk to my brother.
Well, I mean, Travis will be the ultimate decider.
Well, I know, but in terms of the last person that he's, in my mind, that he would talk to about this and base his opinion off of is his brother. One, because they're already close enough. Two, because he was just in the same sort of scenario where the team that he was on just won again. What was Jason's body feeling? Like, is there any extra that you can do during the offseason to prepare yourself for the season? Is there any extra investment you need to take on your body to make sure that you are able to last through the entire season? All those little things will take a big part in his decision.
The other part of Minnie who got me thinking, just listening to him talk about it, basically and almost like he is on the team still, and maybe that's just, as I said, I'm reading too much into it. I looked at contract projections, like what would it take to even bring back Charles Minnehue, who, as I said, is 28 for next season. Spotrac, it doesn't mean they're 100% accurate, but they're one of the best, if not the best out there in contract projections, Mike Gennetti and his staff. They project $11.8 million annual average for a Charles Minnehue deal. And I don't know if that's off. I don't know if that's right. Is that over 2 years? So a three-year deal, but it's really two? Something like that? Is that? Would you be interested in doing that? I just wonder where's the pass rush without a Minnehue? You got Karlaftis. Felix still hasn't developed the way they hoped. Chris Jones, of course, is back. Mike Dan is back. There's no Turk Warden unless he comes back on a deal. I think between Aminu and Turk Warden, one of those guys is probably back. Maybe they also draft somebody. Well, we all agree the resources should start to be devoted more towards the offense again, most notably left tackle, but wide receiver or an explosive running back, for example. Like that's all true. But you also can't have zero pass rush. And Charles Domenihue, who missed the bulk of the season due to the ACL injury, now will have a full, healthy offseason. And he came back, and even though he wasn't 100%, as he said, the film didn't lie. The film didn't look like I wasn't 100%. I would be very interested, of course, at the right price, like most of these things, in bringing Charles Domenihue back, because he's now going to have a full, healthy offseason. I still think there's plenty out there, and he could be a big help. Imagine Charles Domenihue for a full season. In year three in Spags' system. So that'll be another name to keep an eye on as we get close to the league year as well. All right, I want to go out to the hotline and welcome in our guy, Jay Binkley. I know the Character Concerns podcasts are going to start really rolling out as we get closer and closer to the draft. But, Bink, you said, hey, man, I got an offseason plan. I got a draft plan. I need to tell the people. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Alex? I guess it's time we start looking forward instead of backwards, correct? Just kind of
no doubt
wipe the slate clean with this past season and think, all right, what does this team need to do to get back to exactly where they were? Because to be honest with you, I don't see a ton of challengers right now in the AFC because there's a lot of people still doing a lot of work trying to find that quarterback, and the Chiefs have that at least.
What is the – let me start. Nothing has to be draft yet, but – I'm sure it's just part of the equation when I mention offseason. What is Jay Binkley's, you've compiled, what's your offseason plan? How are you fixing the issues, and what issues have to be fixed?
I'm fixing left tackle. That's the thing right there. And I'm not sold that you can get somebody, obviously, at 31. At 31 for the left tackle draft. Because that's what last year people were screaming for. They wanted that left tackle at that position, and even there was a lot of talks. People wanted Kingsley Suamattia at pick 31, but that was kind of out of the equation, and obviously Xavier Worthy helped this team out a ton more than that, but they're going to have to go free agent. You know, whether it's Cam Robinson, whether it's Ronnie Stanley, they're going to have to bring in a left tackle. I mean, that is a necessity. That is a number one on the list. To me, that's even more important, bringing back a Nick Bolton, even considering that. And to be honest with you, that's even more important than Trey Smith, to be honest.
So, okay, let's go a little bit through that, starting with Trey Smith. I don't believe he's coming back. Not that I don't think he can help this team. I just think financially, with some of the other issues you laid out, I don't believe that they can pull that off. Yes, ultimately, we know the salary cap can be maneuvered. Like, if they are 100% dead set on bringing him back, they can do that. But is that the position I want to really lean 100% into with all the other areas that I need to address? And so Trey Smith, to me, would not be on my priority list to sign. I got to make my decision very quickly, so I know. But where are you at on him and the likelihood that he's in a Chiefs uniform?
I don't think it's real likely. I mean, you remember 2 years ago, or back when Tyreek Hill, the wide receivers kind of set the market. Last year was about the guards. Last year, the way the guards got paid, they really, you know, kind of reset that market. And Trey Smith, I mean, no matter where you look, I mean, he's considered a top two or three free agent in this year's class. So that would cost you a lot of money. But again, that's interior offensive line. And, you know, you can get by it. I mean, it's not great. Obviously, I like Trey Smith. I think the dude is awesome. Loved him with the Kansas City Chiefs. But you got to make business decisions when you give your quarterback the top cap money of any team that's ever won a Super Bowl with the cap money. It was the highest. So I'd prioritize left tackle, to be honest with you. I don't think Trey Smith comes back. I'd love to have him back, but he's going to have decisions to make. And the way he looks at it, okay, he's got two Super Bowl rings. It's time now to get the bag, right? I mean, a lot of guys, their quest is to get a Super Bowl ring. He's got two of them. So what's really to keep him here? He's not going to be here for goodwill and charity. It's about, what are you going to pay me?
We're talking to Jay Binkley. He's joining us here on Cody and Gold. You mentioned at 31, and I agree with you. We've talked about this for a couple of years. Like, getting a left tackle at 31 is very difficult. How does this year's draft class, I know the combine hasn't happened, how does it stack up, you know, left tackle wise? Because as I said, hey, look, I'm okay with trading multiple picks to, and it's going to take multiple picks at least to get to, let's say, 12 or 15 when you're trying to go from 31. Is this the year to do that? I know the need is there, but is the player there, not just is he a top 15 pick because it's the 2025 draft, a player that truly is a top 15 pick in the draft. How do you view the class at that position this year?
It's not wild. Last year you saw eight tackles go in the first round. That was a record, the previous record, seven on that. I mean, there's some difference makers, I think. I mean, guys that could start this year, Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks, a couple of guys there that I think could start this year, but not wild about it. Again, you're asking a rookie to go in there, and I get it. The Chiefs are in a different spot. Last year was clearly different because the team had an opportunity to three-peat, so they, I guess they have to evaluate their season a little bit differently than that. But if they think they still have a lot of the core and Chris Jones and companies here and this team can make a run next year and you're still dealing with Patrick Mahomes right at, well, he'll be 30 years old when that during next season. But will that be enough for the Kansas City Chiefs to prioritize? If they think they can deal with a rookie left tackle, I wouldn't trust that. I think they'd be much better off getting it through free agency, because last year they trusted Kingsley and that didn't work out.
So the free agency part, you mentioned one of the names, Ronnie Stanley. The concern there is he's what, 31, 32, and he's coming off a season where he did play 17 games, but prior to that it was what, two or three straight years of playing fewer than 10 or 11 games. That's the concern. He's a free agent, you know, and will be a friend for a reason, and most people think the Ravens are going to move on from him. Is that really the best path? Is that really the only true realistic option? Because that's not a long-term solution, and that doesn't come without plenty of risk.
It's not a long-term solution at all. But right now, I would more trust free agents for offensive tackle than going ahead and drafting one, unless you're going to move up. Unless you're going to move up to, gosh, you need to at least be, you know, 10 to 15 to trade up. And then are you willing to do it? You get your quarterback at number 10, are you willing to trade up your left tackle at that point? But yes, Ronnie Stanley's older, Cam Robinson, another name, Tyron Smith with the Jets. I wouldn't mess with that one. Dan Moore of the Steelers wouldn't mess with that one either. But there's a few guys I would consider if I was a Chiefs. But they got to bulk up this offensive line. That's the question. I mean, yes, last year they got a few more offensive guys, throwing in Jared Wiley, a tight end, and things like that. But, man, this draft has been so concentrated on getting defensive players in this draft. It's time to bulk up the offense, man. And, you know, I've been set on going downfield, but you can't go downfield unless you have the protection to do it. You can't have the quarterback sit down there, but you got to be able to go downfield. The Chiefs have got to get back to what got them there. But that's protecting the offensive line. The way I've always viewed it is you're going to have one time in history to have a quarterback like this. Now, you could get lucky, I guess, and get another quarterback that can win at least three Super Bowls. I don't know. I will remind people Tom Brady was 3-2 in his first five Super Bowls. He lost
No, Bink, you missed the memo. He's done, right? He can't do it anymore. Yeah. It's already over. You missed the memo on that
Rob
one.
Rob Parker said he was done. Like Mahomes, he said he was done in 2012 when he was 35. People said he was done in 2017 when he was hammered by the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. And since that day where everybody said he's washed and Bill Belichick goes on to Cincinnati, he went to 5 Super Bowls and won 4 of them after that. But he started off 3-2 and didn't win his third one, or his fourth one, excuse me, until he was 37 years old. But you're going to have Mahomes. Will New England ever have a quarterback as good as Brady? No. Will Kansas City ever have a quarterback as good as Mahomes? Chances are, no. That's a 99% chance, no. They're not going to have anybody better. So take advantage when you have that guy. And in their 30s, guys in their 30s, primes, I mean, there's been great seasons by quarterbacks in their 30s. You're really getting the prime of Patrick Mahomes at this time. Matter of fact, Steve Young built a Hall of Fame career. He was behind Montana basically in his 30s. All his numbers he put up basically were when he was in his 30s and what he was able to do. So the prime is coming now. I'm doing everything I can with one guy in mind, and that's Patrick Mahomes. We have the quarterback now. We don't need this guy doing the offense last year, throwing short 5 yards, 10 yards, wanting going down the field. Patrick Mahomes is a downfield thrower, and that's what they need to get back to. And if it's protecting on the offensive line, that should be the first priority. Not sure you're going to see that in the first round unless you trade down to do it. But defensive line remains very important for the Kansas City Chiefs. First round, in my opinion, go to defensive line. Tight end's going to be tough. There's two of them that I'd really consider moving down for, and that's Colston Loveland or Tyler Warren, but I don't think they're going to be in position to get those guys. Tyler Warren, I think, is by far the best tight end in the draft. Brock Bowers light. I think Brock Bowers obviously better. That's the guy that clearly won it last year, but it didn't happen. Tyler Warren. Or you draft another one. I wouldn't mess with the running back until the third round. And unfortunately, they have the not the first pick in the third round, but the second pick. I've heard a lot of they got the first pick in the third round. It's not the first pick. It's the second.
Yeah, let me ask you this before we let you go, Bink. We appreciate Jay Binkley calling in, getting his thoughts, early thoughts on the offseason and potentially the draft. I know I'm not the only one that has thought this, because plenty of people have started to look at this offense and realize that they need more explosiveness. That's pretty obvious. What about from the running back position? Isaiah Pacheco's going to be on this team next year. He's going to play for this team next year. But the draft, to me, this year, not a first-round pick, but I'm fine with them spending a top 100 pick, even if that's what it takes on an explosive running back. Is that possible? Is the personnel there?
You know, this is a very strong running back draft. Matter of fact, it's probably one of the strongest positions. That defensive line and tight end, the position that the Chiefs really need in this draft, but the running back position is going to be extremely good this year. I don't think you have to go in the first round, and I know people don't get it totally enamored by the running back. I understand they're making a resurgence.
Yeah.
NFL Network was doing, oh, the resurgence of the running back because of Derrick Henry. Well, Derrick Henry didn't put a ring on this year. Saquon Barkley averaged 2.3 yards a carry in the Super Bowl. Yes, he was good in the passing game, but don't be totally enamored and think this league is turning into a running back league. As much as I like running backs, and I used to be 100% on it, but you have to be realistic. The one thing about Pacheco that I never got, he ran a 4.37 at the combine. It's like that home run speed was there.
Hmm.
Like dude was extremely fast. That 4.37 is what enamored the Chiefs, but yeah, you're gonna have guys there sitting in the third, maybe like an Ollie Gordon. I think Keyshawn Judkins probably be gone by that point. Travion Henderson probably in the second, maybe not. Maybe they don't go to the third round, but definitely running back is plentiful this year.
Jay Binkley, appreciate it, man. I know there's a chance you might be filling in tomorrow. If not, we'll catch you.
I'll be there tomorrow.
You're in. That's it. Okay. There you heard it from the man himself. So tomorrow, Drew and Bink will be in studio, and I'm sure you guys will hit on the draft. I said, Bink, it's too early for Cody and I to do a little mock draft sounder, but look, you guys are hosting tomorrow, so you know what? If you got to pull out a mock draft sounder, you go for it.
We'll do it, brother. We'll do it, because there has been plenty out there.
All right, there you go. That's Jay Binkley. Great insight as always. We had to talk to him about the draft a little bit. We had to do that. He said I got an off-season plan. I know people get nervous about the running back thing. I definitely don't want them taking one in the first round. But if you told me it's you know, they got multiple top 100 picks. They had to spend like their third round pick, the higher third round pick on a running back. If somebody that we just mentioned, like a Travion Henderson, falls to that or something, I would not hate that pick. I am not 100% don't draft a running back in the first 100. Not a first rounder though. We don't. They don't need to do that. They either need to draft a tackle with that pick or package that pick for somebody else or whatever it takes. But a running back, they got to get more explosive at the running back spot. No doubt about that. Coming up next, we're going to get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold, and we'll also be joined by Danian Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. We'll put a bow on this season, kind of what this season meant for him, and look ahead to the future a bit as well. Plus, one thing could impact so many of you. As long as it's fixed by the middle of March, I'll be fine, but I'm getting a little nervous. I'll tell you what that is next.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.